Welcome to another wonderful episode of Build It Better. I'm your host, Jesse Tomczak, software architect at This Dot. And this, as my always, is my fabulous co-host, Adam Barrett. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing? I'm doing great, doing wonderful. Happy to be here in your ears, as clean as they are. Thank you for keeping them clean.
Apparently, we were doing an AM radio talk show host. Do they still do those?
I do now.
Did you know new cars don't even come with AM radios?
What?
I know. I was like, no AM or FM signal radio at all. Just satellite. Oh,
like not even an FM either. Like, no radio.
Like, wow. You CarPlay or you Bluetooth or you satellite, and that's all you get. It was so expensive that they just tossed out.
I feel so old now.
Maybe it was a supply chain issue.
But who do we have here with us?
I don't know. We're already off topic. So today we have a very special guest. Dane is with us from This Dot, and Dane is here to talk to us and educate us on something that we're both, me and Adam, are both severely lacking in, React server-side components. Hey, Dane, how are you?
Fabulous. How are you?
I'm awesome. Adam wants to say something. Go ahead.
No. You spoke for me. You said, I don't know. I learned a lot about React server components. I even read the code at one point. So,
yeah, honestly, I think you're confused about why I'm here. I think actually Adam has more experience with server components at this point than I do. So I have not used them at all.
Yeah, well, honestly, either by other than to play with them, other than to, you know, basically get like a little thing rolling with like, here's a count. You know, it's like a hello world almost. Here's a count component. And here's like another component, and there's server components. Wow.
So I would argue, here's my stance. Has anybody ever used server components? Because I got to say, I like React and I've used it for many, many years, but the server components seem suspiciously like vaporware to me, in the sense that they've never, like, they've been around for years and no one's ever seen or used them.
Until just recently, basically. But yeah, you're right. Like, for years, people have been talking about server components. But Dane, tell us what you know about server components.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're wrong. It feels like it's been a very, very long time now that we've been hearing about them. I just did a search on the new React docs for server components, and it's just like a couple blog posts over, you know, the span of a couple years, and that's pretty much it. So I think that's kind of the issue. Like, people have been hearing about them for so long. We've been chit-chatting about them for so long, but you know, no one really has any real experience with them at this point. I mean, I'm sure some people do, but it's one of those things where it's still not, you know, really released and has the blessing for production use and all that. So I think that's kind of why it's just in this like weird purgatory situation.
Yeah. And so for anybody who doesn't know, currently React server components are technically an alpha feature or maybe a beta feature. You can use Next.js and you can use their Apter, the latest version, whatever it is, 13. I don't know if that's beta or not, but you can use their Apter feature, which will then allow you to have server components. And you can use their sort of implementation of React server components. Or there's also somebody developed a Vite plugin for Vite server components, which may also be an angle you can take. So you can actually start trying these things out. No, you're exactly right, Dane. They said, like, don't use this for your real stuff because it might change. We might break everything and we don't really know how far this API is gonna go. But this is being used now, or at least being toyed with by lots of people, presumably. So what are they now? Should we get into that?
Yeah. What is, so tell, like, explain to me the difference between a React server component and React server side rendering.
Do you want to take that, Dane, or should I?
Well, yeah. So server side rendering, that's pretty much been around since like the beginning of React. I remember early on, you know, when like Flux was this new thing, and it was like really like tricky because you had to like implement it yourself. And I remember it being like really challenging to like get your server side rendering going and all that. So luckily there's newer frameworks now that make that sort of thing easier, but basically that's just where React takes your component tree and spits out HTML across the wire, sort of similar to just requesting like a regular HTML page from a server. So, and the server components, yeah, definitely a different situation. So I know we have all these like new frameworks that have become like really popular over the last year, like Remix, and then in the other ecosystems, Solid Start, SvelteKit. I know Adam was mentioning SvelteKit earlier, and so they all do server-side rendering, where we've been doing single page apps for a long time now, and you know, static apps with like build systems and Next.js and Gatsby and stuff like that. So the new frameworks are bringing it back to the old paradigm. People compare it to PHP a lot now, where basically, you know, your UI framework is like a templating library in the system where everything gets rendered on the server and sent across the wire. So we're kind of like, that's where we're at now. And then we've been hearing about server components for a while, which I guess are kind of similar. But, you know, from what I understand, the main benefit is that you can do the React thing like we're used to doing, where you fetch some data from a component, you know, the component that wants or uses that data, and you can fetch it right there on the server instead of having to do like a render that then fetch like we do in like a single page app. So it'll actually, you'll already have that data when the component renders from the server, I guess is like the general idea of it. And yeah, it sounds a lot like Astro to me, like the Astro components. So in my head, that's kind of like what I imagine the experience being like, because I've actually used Astro. I haven't used server components yet. So,
right. So I would say that server components have, they're basically the natural progression of trying to like co-locate your data fetching with your component. And so it sort of starts like, okay, we had, you know, the way React originally was, like, oh, hey, your components, and you just like fetch, and then we got hooks, and they were like, oh, well, fetch in the use effect kind of thing. And then they started talking about like, what's a better way for data fetching that doesn't cause waterfalls? And they were like, well, we need to, you know, if you were using Relay, like they do at Meta or whatever, all the components sort of like say, hey, this is what I'm going to need. And then they collect all that data just like with the one render pass. And then Relay knows like, oh, here's all the data I'm going to need, and then goes and gets it. And then they render again, and then it's all there. And so this is like, okay, well, that's pretty close, but you still have got this idea of like, oh, you need an API. It needs to understand, you know, GraphQL maybe or whatever. You fetch all your data from it, and then you plug it in. What if we could move that even closer? What if we could do the rendering on the server? And that's kind of where this ends up. So then instead of like having this middle ground of like Relay or whatever it is that you're using, where you make the fetch in your component, but it kind of goes off to this other system, calls an API and whatever, what if you could just do it right in your component? So you could say, I'm going to make this SQL call right in my component, and whatever that means on the server. And then my component is just going to return asynchronously the same old, you know, React elements that they always do. You know, when you use the JSX, it returns React elements. And so that's what server components offers. It offers this way of doing everything, and you know it's only going to run on the server. And the way it does that is by allowing a new sort of streaming mechanism. And so what happens is it'll call the render. And if your async function is not immediately you know, synchronous, it's like, oh, this is a server component. And so then it'll be like, oh, hey, let's suspend this. So if you use a suspend boundary anywhere in your tree, it'll like trigger that, or it'll wait if it's like the top level kind of thing. And so then it renders that away and it makes up the virtual DOM and it sends it off to wherever. Now that wherever is kind of important because that's where the line between separating SSR and regular rendering is, but we can come back to that in a second. Then as the promises resolve and things become, oh, hey, we'll re-render this now that that promise has resolved, different DOM changes might happen. Different virtual DOM changes might happen. So the React virtual DOM tree will now look different. And so what it'll do is it'll add that to this open stream. So it keeps that stream open. It says, here's the first bit. Render that when you know, client or SSR, or whatever, whoever needs to render. Here you go. But hold the stream open because now I got some more. And they leave slots basically on the first render. They're like, here, these are some empty spots. We'll tell you about those later. And then as they come in, they stream these extra responses, these extra chunks kind of get streamed. Actually, that sort of depends on how it's done, but that's a whole different thing. And then those will be like, oh, okay, now we have this part of the render tree and we add it in and then re-render. And so it basically moves that whole, the rendering thing onto the server. And then you just stream the essentially a representation of the virtual DOM up to whatever needs to render it. And then, so that's an interesting thing of how it's different from SSR, because it's not really the SSR part that's important. Because for SSR, all that's doing is the React renderer is saying like, okay, here's the first part of the tree and keep the stream open. And then the SSR just goes, okay, I will turn this first part of the tree into HTML and send that away. And then I will ignore the rest and just pass that stream on to the client, because all that's the server side rendering just cares about that first one. It's like, I'll just take that. Then when the client gets it, the client's like, okay, here's the HTML, renders that. And it grabs this stream, like, and the stream is kind of like, I don't want to get too deep into it, but it's like, it can come from H2 stream. It can come from, it doesn't matter where it comes from. But then the client renderer is like, okay, well, I do my reconciliation. I've got my first run against the HTML, boom. And now I'm waiting for updates. And when I get them, I insert where they need to go in the slot into the tree, the virtual DOM tree. And then I render again, or I reconcile again, I guess would be the right word. And then that it does that until the stream closes, until they're like, yep, we're all done. Everything we were pending is done. And then it closes and then it's done. And then there's this possibility that there was a new request and it's like, hey, you need to update this one part. And it does the same thing again, where it gets a stream. Maybe it suspends that one part. And then as it streams in and promises resolve on the other side and they stream in new virtual DOM, it like, okay, I've got new virtual DOM and I re-render again. And that's kind of neat. That's kind of the basis of it all. So it allows to moving the rendering to the servers. The rendering, yeah, in React terms, to the server part, but the reconciliation and the like actual updates to real DOM stuff still happens on the client. And that like, oh, React virtual DOM to HTML is SSR, and that still happens on the server, but they're not connected to this idea of what server components are. Does that all make sense? That was a lot of yammering in a long.
Yeah, I've got some questions. I think it's possible, correct me if I'm wrong, to sort of specify like which mode your app runs in, whether you want it like streaming or you know, whatever the default is. But like I know in Remix they added a new streaming feature where in the loaders you can send a promise through and it'll stream that across the wire instead of waiting for it to finish. I wonder if you have, do you know if you have that type of control with server components where you can specify, hey, I want to wait on certain things, or does it just stream everything?
I guess it depends on what you mean, but yes, in the same way. So your server components are async components. So they basically have two states. They're either pending or they're resolved, or actually I guess the third state is they could have errored too. So they got the three states just like a promise. And so as pieces of the tree will now be, you know, represented as promises, but they're not, they're slots, but whatever, but they're represented as promises with those three states, then yeah, different parts will render in at a time. As for like a mode, I'm not sure. I think you would need a stream but it's not even like a regular HTML stream or anything.
This is like can we define stream? So in my head, I'm trying to figure out what this data across the wire is, because it's not a WebSocket, it's not pulling, and it's not HTTP2 stream. Like, a stream is a data type or a HTTP protocol. When you say stream, what am I getting?
You're getting a HTTP stream. You're getting a web stream of some sort. Like, if you were to request a text document, you could get something. And the MIME type of the React stream, I think, is still in flux. But as of when I looked at the code, it was like React/component or something, like the MIME type. Like it's an actual different type of file kind of thing. But it's not even a file. But it is represented like a different type of file kind of thing. So
yeah, I guess
it's a real
HTTP. Is it a protocol? Like, when I open the network, I guess, in like, I'm mentally trying to put this together. When I open the network tab in Chrome and I load this page and a stream comes in, what am I like? Do I see? Because like in the network tab, it's just got like the CRUD request, and it's got a separate place for WebSocket connections or even long polling.
This would be more like if you request an HTML page, it'll say things like, "Oh, this is," and let's say you did preloading on H2. Like HTTP2, you'll get this stream, which is the HTML page, but it'll also say, hey, you're going to need these things too. So we're going to stream these to you already. And then when the web page, when you start rendering the HTML and it gets to it, you've already got it. Like, that's just an HTTP2 feature. Does that make sense? And so this is kind of relying on the same thing. You basically start streaming along with the requests. Like, so the request says, hey, a browser opens up a stream, says, hey, give me your HTML. It starts to stream the HTML as data bits across the wire. But then it also says, hey, you're also going to need these things too. So we're going to stream them along too. And when the HTML eventually does request it, or the JavaScript, you've already got it in your browser. It's already ready to go. And so this is the same kind of thing. It just streams another, basically as if it was another file, like a CSS file or a JavaScript file. And this one's actually like a weird little like particular protocol right now. It looks JSON-ish right now, but they said like, oh, this might change and we might go to a binary format or something. But as of right now, it just looks like JSON and sort of like fills in these slots. But they said, like, don't rely on this staying the same, because they're planning on that staying. But it's just a text stream right now. Does that make sense? And it basically ends up being a representation of virtual DOM, is what it really is.
So typically, most React meta frameworks or JavaScript meta frameworks are probably going to use some sort of like Node server for the backend. And from what I understand, Node streams responses by default. So it's not even anything special or out of the ordinary on that side of things, right? Yeah. I guess it's kind of like what the frameworks do with that specifically on their end more so. Is that how you understand it?
Sure. But I mean, the important part, I guess, to maybe... To kind of get your brain wrapped around, is that this is part of like the React frameworks. You know how there's React DOM and there's React itself? This is sort of the React itself saying, hey, when you call render, I'm going to give you something back. And now, rather than it being a big like JSON object that you then pass to React DOM, which will then make it into DOM, it's like a stream of JSON-y object sort of things. And then, React SSR or whatever it's called is going to like turn that into HTML. React DOM is going to take that thing and turn it into DOM nodes on your browser. But that other thing, the React thing, is just its own little stream. And so it technically, though it only, as far as I know, works on like, there's like HTTP2 and a fallback on if you're on HTTP1 or HTTP, whatever it's called. But you technically could also use a WebSocket. Like, there's nothing saying that like they don't, but like you could, like, it's just any sort of like, or you could have it in a web worker. Even you could have this in a worker doing the React stuff and then send that along the worker in events, to the page, and the page, and then React DOM would start turning that into DOM. Like, it's, the stream is different than
the stream is not the protocol. So this is just a node. Dane said something that sort of clicked in my head. This is just a node file stream.
It doesn't necessarily have to be Node either, though, right?
Well, so,
it
so
is
as
a text yeah, file okay. stream.
So, so to, new to kind pin of down, so to like pin down, like from theoretical to like fundamental, like I can, like when you request a file download, you are getting a Node read stream over HTTP/1 as those chunk bits are collected via a promise, right? You like request API dot then collect chunks. Once all chunks are together, you can finally FS, what is it? FS file write or whatever. That's essentially an example yep. of what you would get. So instead of like an MP3 as a file stream where you're like basically pulling in these parse chunks and then basically reassembling them as a single like doc or file or yep. MP3, you would be doing this via components. Yeah, it's not limited to this, but as a tangible example, like streaming isn't pinned to HTTP/2 or WebSockets. Mm-hmm. Like when you say stream, mm-hmm. you just mean a single open request from server to client that then terminates. This is not an ongoing, endless connection where state is held on the server. Yes. Right? We're not talking about
that being
like,
said.
Live, not,
like, stop. It could be though. Like, it doesn't need to complete. It doesn't need to complete. So just like a browser, if you make a request for an HTML page, it technically doesn't need to complete either, because a browser will.
What do you mean by that?
It does. The stream doesn't need to complete. The stream doesn't need to stop. It can have an open stream. It can be a long stream that it keeps running, and the browser will still render what HTML it gets. It's like, oh, I got a little bit. I'll render that. Oh, I got a little bit more. I'll render that.
Well, but stream's not a protocol. So what are you holding open?
Well, stream isn't a protocol. It's more of a concept, right? And so that's why it's hard to talk about, because it stream depends on what specifically transport method you're using, right? But
yeah, because when you say stream, like the stream is just chunks of data over the wire.
Right.
But like, what are you holding open from client to server?
A request?
Like just a single HTTP request?
Well,
you're just holding that single connection?
Yes, in the case of, depending on what we're talking about, but in the case of...
What are you talking about?
Well, that's what I'm wondering what you're talking about. The questions are confusing. But in the case of like React server components, let's say, and you've made a request to, let's say, a Node server, and it has responded with a, here's your HTML, but I'm also, and let's say it's, let's not do HTTP because I don't actually know how their fallback works. If we do HTTP/2, it's like, here is your stream, and I will be sending you chunks of data as I get them.
Right.
Also, here's some other chunks, and these are for a different file though. So here's some more chunks, and I've still just got one connection open, but I'm sending multiple files of streams to you, and I'm expecting you to know how to decode that on the browser side and say, yeah, this belongs to this file, we'll put that over there, this belongs to this file, and this is actually the HTML I requested, and I'll start rendering that to the page. And then this would be another one of those files, essentially. The React server stream is one of those files. It's like, hey, here's a special file that your browser is going to request, trust me. And the browser goes, okay, I'll throw that in, here's the name, I'll put it here for a second. And then somewhere in the JavaScript that eventually runs, it'll say, hey, I know you've got a stream named this, I'm going to request it, and I know it's already there because I know I pre-streamed it, and then I'm going to start taking that data in, and I'm going to start rendering it, and I'm going to start making new, and it's still open, and I'm going to start making new React elements, what do you call that, virtual DOM elements, and I'm going to start putting them into the tree as they come in. Does that all make sense?
It does. Now my concern is that you've stood up a server that keeps an open connection to every client.
But now this can close, though, right? So as soon as all the promises resolve, the
request
React,
is done and
the
closed,
React component, the server component says, okay, we're done, and you can close that now. So this one actually, because all it's just waiting for the promises, it'll close. But I'm just saying, theoretically, you don't have to close them because the machine already knows, like, hey, as this is streaming in, I know how to update the DOM. I know how to put this into the virtual DOM we have, and I know how to reconcile that into regular DOM. So it doesn't matter if the stream is open or closed. It's doing the same thing. Now, everything we've got right now does actually close. It's like got a limited amount. It's when these promises eventually resolve. I know all the promises resolved. I close the stream.
Yeah. Okay. So I just wanted to, like, trying to think implementation wise that these are single requests that are open long enough for the server components to resolve and return data. They're not short polling or long polling, or because, like, if I think of Elixirs and live views in Phoenix, it will send an initial render and then it opens a WebSocket, and on click events are literally sent up to the service. Like, state is held in server. Mm-hmm. And this only works because you've got a WebSocket connection and tasks, GenServe tasks in your, like, your state is literally server based. Mm-hmm. But this is not that. These are single requests.
This is lower level than that. You could build that on top of server components, but this is lower level than that. This is just about sending virtual DOM thing, and I keep saying that, but that's not technically correct. It's a representation of virtual
DOM assembly is essentially what I'd like to think about as
whatever,
because it's literally just gibberish in a JSON file that gibberish
in a JSON looking file that may be binary someday actually. React renderer on the client knows, oh, I know how to read that, and I know how to, like, take that
slot. I know where that slot goes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we figured out how stuff gets from here to there. What is the benefit?
Well, the benefit is that co-location. Like, I think this is the primary benefit, is, like, I get to put my data fetching right in the thing that renders it. And then if I need, and so that's just going to be like, okay, that's great. You know, you get this, it spins out. I know that this is only going to run the server, so I can co-locate. Like I said, like, you could do a database like query.
See, I like the use of like SQL queries as opposed to just fetching data. Cause like immediately your reply guy is like, I could fetch data on the client, but it's like, are you making SQL queries on the client?
No.
And so because of that,
no reply guy, sit down, reply guy.
So how much less JavaScript and work do you need to do on the browser now? Because it's already all that work of like everything to get that virtual DOM, that's already been done for you. You just get the result of that in the browser. And then your JavaScript React thing is just like, oh yeah, I know how to deal with that. And I pop it in. Right. And so you get that. It also gives you that that time to, you know, that performance thing where you've got like, oh, hey, this isn't ready yet, but all this stuff already is because it's
synchronous. Time to interact.
All the synchronous, all the stuff that you don't need to wait on is like ready. And you can just throw that on. And then the stuff you do have to wait for, you know, you wrap those in those suspense boundaries and then they'll come in as they come in, kind of thing. And so it just gives that. And you never have to worry about re-rendering the other parts because they're never going to re-render, sort of thing. And so you just you have to ship less JavaScript. You're doing less work when you're doing the like when state updates and stuff.
Would you call the little suspenseful items like islands?
And yeah, there's a similarity there. No, honestly, there is. I would say the difference is when you got to get really nitpicky about islands. Technically, you know, in the original, you know, Jason Miller description of islands, it was like, hey, the JavaScript that powers this island should come along with this just by me putting this component in, which is technically a little bit different because the JavaScript that's going to like make the React thing work is already there. So technically not islands, but there's similarity, right? It's a lot of the same benefits, a lot of the like, hey, this is less JavaScript going over the wire. This is less, you know, updating when you don't need to. And we have the static parts staying static and the interactive parts being explicitly bought into, right? Like that's another thing too, with React server components. You have to differentiate your client components now by saying, hey, this is a, you have to put a little, I can't remember what the word is, but you have to put a little string at the top of your file that says, is it use client? Yeah. Client, which says
now
this is a client component. So I'm going to need all the JavaScript to make this work and throw that up. So that's similar to islands in the sense that you're buying into the interactivity that you're going to need on the client.
And I think I almost preferred when they had, Dane, do you remember in the early remix, they had like file.server.ts and file.client.ts? Did they? Am I thinking about something else?
I think they still have that, right? Are you talking about just like the entry points to the server and the client application?
So they have those entry points, but you would delineate a component that was server side only or client side only with the file name, not a comment at the top of the file. I almost preferred that explicit, like this file name must be to fall into the compiler correctly.
Yeah, I think the frameworks can still probably have some control over that, like the frameworks on top of React. But yeah.
I mean, because at this point, most of our meta frameworks have like file names are bracket dot dot dollar saying file name bracket to like give it all of its routing properties. And it's like, could you just throw a dot server in there too? To like, I mean, it's already busy enough.
I mean, SvelteKit does that.
That's what that's where I got the dollar sign from.
That's awesome.
So I think Adam hit the 2 points though for server components, the colocation and the ship less JavaScript. I think that's pretty much it in a nutshell. So, but I watched recently, Kenzie Dodds did a podcast with Dan Abramov and another gentleman from Facebook. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but that was kind of his main, I know you had like a similar question about it or feeling about it, Adam, was like, why, you know, like I can do like all this in Remix. What do I need server components for? Right. I've got my data loader. I can fetch all my data in there. And I think like, I guess to that argument, it would just be like the co-location, because if you're fetching all your data at the page level from a data loader, you might have to like pipe some of it down, but I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Joe Savano. Savannah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, so I was saying before the show that I kind of felt like SvelteKit already sort of has all these benefits. You know, you have the ability to, you know, stream from the loaders, very, very, very similar to Remix.
I think that's also what the PHP group is saying. It's like, we've been doing side for years.
Yeah. And that I think actually is wrong, but still just because the idea here and another benefit that I guess we're not really talking about is that you still keep the same, or I would say at least similar concepts with the framework. So my front end works pretty much just like my back end. It's a component. I know how to components tree work. I know how to compose React components into like various different things. I know how to make that all work. I know that it can work on different, you know, like it doesn't necessarily have to be HTML. It can be different renderers, you know, for different platforms. I keep all that with server components. Now, things you do lose though with server components are like state, because server components can't have state. So you don't get to use, you know, a lot of the hooks that you might be used to use effect, use state. You get maybe a new hook, but that's a whole different thing. But
More hooks.
So there's a lot of the core concepts of the framework would stay the same. That's where I would differentiate from PHP, where yes, you do all the servering and the streaming stuff, right? But then when it gets to the client, you've got like a whole other thing doing it, right? Like there's some other mechanism that's taking care of your client stuff for you. Now you could say like, oh, the Rails people have been doing this already, you know, or whatever with whatever that's called.
Hotwire.
Hotwire, all of the above. And it's like, yeah, maybe that is the same. I don't know.
Maybe because it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's these sort of co-locations and co-discoveries and uses. This idea that we have done SPA and decided that was good for many years, and then have come to the conclusion that maybe these heavy, bloated clients aren't necessary for everything. Like, you know, if you're building let's take Figma as a sort of like extreme, one end extreme, right? How long does it take to open Figma in like my ridiculous laptop on my ridiculous gigabit connection? 4, 5, 10 seconds, depending on your stuff. Like, does that time go down? Like, does that make Figma more accessible to people without a ridiculous developer laptop that aren't on a gigabit connection?
But with Figma, who cares that it took you 4 seconds? Because if I go to open up like many of my apps on my computer, it takes four seconds. Yeah. True. You know what I mean? Like it just takes a while to warm up. And when I'm not expecting like an instant, like, oh, hey, this is a web page that I'm looking at, I'm going to like shop for something, and therefore, if I don't see it in a second, I'm leaving. Like, that mentality, I don't think happens as much with full more apps like Figma kind of thing. It's like, oh yeah, I am willing to wait the 4 seconds for this. But I agree with you. We've realized that spas are definitely not a one shoe fits all. Wait, that's not the right phrase. Definitely don't fit every circumstance.
One shoe fits all. That is definitely not it.
No, that's one not size it. Fits all. Yeah, that's probably it. They're definitely not that.
Why does that sound so bad?
So we start to realize that, hey, we probably need different things, and performance always matters to a certain point. So you got to like figure out like, okay, we can't just send everything to the client. What do we need to send, and what can we hold on the server, and what hoops were we jumping through ridiculously to like not store secrets in the client or that kind of things? And so let's just pull those back. You know what I mean? So I think this is the pendulum just swinging back towards the server. You know, it swung way too far to the client, and now it's swinging back towards the server. It's probably already over the middle line where it should be, and we probably have to swing more back to the client soon. But
I'm excited for them to get released already. It took a long time to get the new documentation site out. I hope they don't wait until, you know, 2 more years from now. I think it's going to be fine. I think the next version of Next.js, you know, if you're a React developer, a Next developer, I don't think it'll be that hard to pick up on. And it'll probably be a pretty good experience. You know, I'm used to building web apps in React, and that's my comfort zone. I kind of like to just stay there. You know, there's a bunch of great libraries I can use. So that's kind of like my feeling is towards it right now. I did see something today. I've been consuming content about it. I just still haven't like gotten around to trying it. And it was like a clickbaity title, and it was, you don't need, like React server components. Are APIs dead or something like that? And the idea is, you know, you can use a server component and, call your database directly from your like driver or whatever. I'm wondering how people feel about that one specifically. That one seems kind of,
I feel this is all tied in with this, like, again, this current swing back to the server. This is all like RPC stuff again. So this is, yeah, this is the forever battle of like, how coupled do we want to be and how decoupled do we want to be? So this is just like another step of that. It's like, yeah, we can just couple our entire, rather than having like a decoupled API and a client, we'll just couple it all to the app. This is the app, and it all happens in here, which has benefits, but also has detriments. And like, you know, depending on the hype cycle, where we're going to land. But like,
yeah, I will tell you, and Dane can probably back this up, as someone who has done a lot of mobile apps, this coupling is an absolute dread, because eventually these things always want a mobile app. And then they're like, well, we don't really have an API for you. We use RPC internally, and we'll make you some like peasant API points that are just brutal.
Yeah. It sounds to me like it's the same client server battle, but like a different version of it or whatever. And I was thinking like for an app that I'm working on, if I wanted to, you know, put Prisma in my app and use server components and query the thing directly, well, if I deploy it to like Vercel or something, or one of these edge platforms that send it all over the world, which is great, but then, you know, you're database is probably in like West Virginia or something, right? And if your API, which is just your React app, is trying to fetch data from it all over the place, that's not good, right? It's kind of a slow process to make those connections. So, you know, what are your options there? You either got to put like an API next to your database to make the calls to, or get a database that's also everywhere, which is still kind of
D1.
Yeah. I think D1 sounds really cool, but
or Fauna too. Fauna DB.
Fauna. I want to make a t-shirt that just says SQL Lite databases everywhere. Everywhere. Put them everywhere.
Here's my concern with that though. If you're building an app you deploy it on a Cloudflare worker. You got one of these adapters, you deploy Remix or something like that to a Cloudflare worker. You're hooked up to D1. Your database is all over the place. It's awesome. But what about like a year and a half down the line, your app has grown quite a bit and all of a sudden it doesn't fit in like a worker anymore. That's something that occurred to me that I'm like, what would happen then? Then you'd have to like move it to like a node server and then, you know, would you still want to be using something like D1 at that point? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good
question. I feel like that would be a wonderful problem to have. I would probably, if I got one, the fact that my enterprise side project is big enough to have outgrown SQLite means I'm doing awesome.
I'm talking specifically about like your app size though.
Like, oh, well, like the web workers, using like if we had done like a Remix sort of adapter thing, like those web workers are going to blast out. Like if we're, we need long running processes and stuff like that.
Well, doesn't your bundle that you ship to a worker have to be like pretty small? Like it doesn't like the actual like size of your package. You know what I mean? If you deploy it to a web worker.
I want to say based on the adapter, like especially in Remix, if we are doing a Remix bundle, each page is a worker, each endpoint is a separate worker, not a single bundle worker. So like you don't run into this Lambda problem where you're like, the whole app is running in a single Lambda. I'm pretty sure that is not the case in the Cloudflare worker where it like chunks it out and it like bases the call routing on a specific worker. So if you hit like the about page, like the deep dashboard contacts is a different worker than say like the in a different bundle, right? Because it's just a bundle of that specific endpoint. But I'm not positive, but I do, yeah, like I'm with you. Like if we hit these these Lambdas, we've hit Lambdas before where it's like, well, our Lambda's full, like now what? It's just like,
if a single route got like overwhelmed, like Cloudflare has that
called. There are caps, right? So you sooner or later you're gonna bump into something like this,
but you can also in a Cloudflare worker you can call other Cloudflare workers, so you can sort of like you can split up the work that way, you know what I mean? Like you can have pieces of your app, fragments, you can have pieces of your app
running
do the work of like just a section of the whole response kind of thing. So you can have one response and you can sort of like collect the streaming response. Again, it's all back to streams. Everything streams, but you collect the streaming response from all the other workers who are doing the work and then just stream this one response, which is a combination of a bunch of them. Like, so yeah, I mean, it's a great problem to have, but there's definitely ways once you get up that high to like break down the work into smaller chunks and still have the experience of be the same for the user.
And I think that's what I really like about the Remix like Cloudflare adapter is like, I love this idea of the workers doing like all the work in chunks distributed and then collating. I don't want to at any point use Memo or put my fingers on it to tell it what to do in that space. Like I want a computer to just read my single app that I made and be like, oh, well, let me chunk it out like this. Like, let me just run it through and just chunk it out in a logical way and it will just run. Like, I don't care how many workers, 37, 3, I don't care. Like, the app lives like this and I have my mental picture in my head and then it runs its best out there. That's like computers do that computer thing and then I will do my thing. Like,
yeah, the adapters are really nice in that sense. Yeah. Falcon has the same kind of thing too. Yeah. Well, I think
I'm going to get Adam a shirt that just says SvelteKit has it too.
SvelteKit has it too. SvelteKit had it first. No, I'm just kidding. They actually totally didn't. SvelteKit is very, well, Svelte in general is very open about the fact that we see good ideas and we take them because
as you should. We're all better off for it.
So that's hopefully a good amount of information about React Server Components. Feel free, if I was wrong, to correct.
Did we get anything right, you think?
I got most of it wrong. No, I'm sure I got it.
I hope so. I think we're going to find out.
Better than me, and you're like, you know, somebody. Even if you're not somebody, if you're nobody and you know better than me, I want you to comment. I want you to throw it in the comments, either here in YouTube or in Twitter thread or something, or even just at me. Just, you can go to like bigab@techhub.social and just be like, hey man, you were wrong. And I welcome it. I welcome my corrections.
A picture in my head, there's developers commuting, screaming in their car on the way to taking their kids to like soccer practice. They've scared the children while the parents are just like cursing at the radio.
Yeah, you're wrong, Adam. You're wrong.
Daddy, who's Adam? Mommy, what's happening?
So tell me where I'm wrong. And hopefully this was good information for everybody else. And Dane, thank you for coming. It was a wonderful experience talking to you about all this.
Thanks for having me.
Probably wrap up better than I can, Jesse, because I can't think of what to say next.
Don't we end the show with a
would I rather thing, right? Yes. Here, traditionally on Build It Better, we end the show with a would you rather. So now we need a would you rather question.
Dane, what do you like, pineapple and cucumbers?
As like a combination or on their own?
On their own.
I like both of them very much. Yes.
Was that the question?
That was a terrible question.
How that works.
Yeah.
Trying to think, like, would you rather eat like a pound of hot chili peppers or one, what is like a horse sized duck or a hundred duck sized horses? I don't.
What is he talking about?
This is not
I'm going to go back to tech just for no real reason. Would you rather never ever have server components hit a regular release, a general release, or would you rather never but still have React and everything, or would you rather never use React again but React server components exists? You're not allowed to use them, but everybody else in the world is.
Yeah, I'd like to keep using React. I don't want to learn something else right now. So,
forget
we've
the
done
rest
fine
of the world.
Without him.
So what I'm hearing is Dane cares about Dane, and the rest of the world be damned. Got
exactly.
It. I'm in the same. Perfect. Boat. I don't even like React, so I'm just.
I think my duck-shaped horses were better. Was a better question.
If you think duck-shaped horses were a better question, comment in the comments. Let us know that Jesse was right.
Comment, like, and subscribe.
Comment, like, and subscribe.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can catch up with Dane at Dane Can Do on the Twitters. You can catch up with me and Adam on the Fediverse, Jesse at cogwheel.social, and Big AB at techhub.social. We will eventually get Dane over to the Fediverse as well. This has been another wonderful episode of Build It Better on React Server Components. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Later.